Welcome to Women in Cybersecurity. Today, I'm here with Wendy Thomas, who is president and CEO of SecureWorks. Wendy, great to have you here today.
Thank you so much. Really pleased to be here.
So let's start out with how you got into cybersecurity. What got you into this field and what do you like about it?
So I've always been interested in all things global. So anything that had to do with a global cultural interaction and that kind of thing, as well as things that are intellectually challenging and have the trifecta of making a positive difference in the world. And so I definitely found early on that technology was a space that was one that forced me to continually learn, right, and innovate and understand how things are changing. So it had that intellectual bent, and clearly it's kind of borderless. So it had the global bent. But security in particular had that do something amazingly positive in the world aspect to it. SecureWorks was how I became introduced to cybersecurity. It was really those three pieces that attracted me to the field and keep me there today.
You have a background in finance and business. Does that shape what you do today?
Absolutely. When I think about cybersecurity, my particular bent, because my background is in economics and finance, really kind of a mathematical background, is that cybersecurity is all about risk and return. If you think about a business who is trying to protect certain assets, or even individuals who are trying to protect their identity or their bank accounts or that kind of thing, it's all about how much are you willing to invest to reduce that risk and that exposure. And so in that sense, when I speak with business leaders, regardless of whether they're the CISO or the CEO, that concept really resonates with their ability to make the right investments in security that make the most sense for their organization.
So that makes perfect sense. I want to hear a little bit about your career journey. Can you talk about some of the earlier roles that you had that were more business and finance focused, and then eventually what brought you into SecureWorks?
Sure. So interestingly enough, my early career was in the commodities trading business. I was actually at the Chicago Board of Trade and spent a lot of time in the trading pits. So one of the most interesting things about that early career experience is it's gone. On the floor trading has been completely disintermediated by technology. And I remember sort of seeing that start to happen on the floor of the exchange when I worked there. And then I moved off the floor and traded online for a fund. And just the understanding of how quickly industries can be disintermediated and the need to innovate was my experience there. And then after business school, I worked for Bell South, who, when I got there, was pretty much a landline telephone company, but quickly moved into cellular technology and at the time DSL, so think data over the lines. And both of those disintermediated the original wireline business. And so it was a business that had to constantly cannibalize and innovate. And those experiences definitely set me up well for security, which requires the same, or really a faster pace, I think, of constant innovation to stay ahead of both the threat and the adversary, but to be valuable to customers as their technology infrastructure and estate evolves really quickly and their need to secure it stays high.
Yep, that makes sense. And what brought you to SecureWorks? Can you tell me about SecureWorks and the roles that you had there when you joined?
Absolutely. So I came to SecureWorks originally to take the company public. So came in to really build out a finance function for them and an investor relations function. And in 2009, the market really kind of fell over. And so we decided to really take advantage of lower asset prices and make the company bigger. So we ended up buying two companies in quick succession, VeriSign's managed security business and a company in Edinburgh, and expanded our global footprint. What attracted me originally was those three pillars of the ability to be in an interesting space, and was very interested in it, and then chatted with the CFO and a group of folks at the time at SecureWorks and just loved the culture of the company, still do. I'm a little biased, but it's really an amazing place to work. And the space was one that was growing fast, innovating quickly, and just seemed like a great opportunity to grow both professionally and do something great in the world.
That's so great to hear. And you originally took on a finance role to help them through the IPO, but then you also took on a role as chief product officer. So can you tell me about that transition?
Absolutely. I was really looking around at the security industry and how much it had changed in the last 3 or 4 years in particular, and realized that we as a company probably needed to do that innovation, disintermediation thought process around how we were fighting the fight in cybersecurity. And that's when we stepped back to do that. What's the right approach? We've been in the space for 20 years. We want to start to actually turn the tide. And by turning the tide, essentially, you make everyone a hard target. You make it too expensive that the juice is not worth the squeeze of attacking these organizations. And that's where we came up with XDR to use machine learning and AI in order to speed the fight, to use automation of investigations and push button remediation options.
That's great. And you guys also work with a lot of partner vendors to help them get their technologies to other companies that might need their help. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we take what we call an open approach or a vendor inclusive approach to going to market. And that starts, as everything that we do does, with the customer. You know, there are very few customers who just need one security partner, one product, set it and forget it. That's just not how security works, as you know. And so working together with the either existing security point products inside of their infrastructure to really just use Taegis XDR to bring it all together to make sure that they have optimal prevention, detection, and response capabilities. We think that in a world of security, working it together is really important for keeping customers safe and safely evolving their infrastructure over time.
Awesome. So this series is on women in cybersecurity because women are still underrepresented in our field. And I saw that you're involved in many other kinds of diversity and inclusion initiatives. So can you tell me about some of the things that you're working on besides being leading this company? I know you're involved in a lot of initiatives.
Absolutely. So I guess it starts at home first, which is that I always talk about that SecureWorks and our team should reflect the markets, the global markets that we serve and secure. So we have a diversity and inclusion strategy that is organic to our overall business approach. So we've made a lot of progress on that front, and I'd like to share some of the key things that we did to get there. In fact, our most recent teammate survey, and I do like to call folks who work at SecureWorks teammates, that 80% of them said they felt completely included and 90% felt a sense of respect. And that's really foundational to an inclusive environment. So we've set certain goals. We want 50% of our global workforce to be represented by those who identify as women by the year 2030, and 40% of people leaders in that category as well. And so when you think about a big goal like that, you have to set in motion the activities that get you there over time. There's no single silver bullet. So we've made a few changes to the way that we bring in new teammates to support diversity, one of which is that we just have people on the roster. So last year, 85% of our open roles in the US had at least one diverse candidate that was interviewed. That was up from, I will say, less than 50% before. And so part of that was when you go on referrals from existing teammates, your referrals tend to reflect your existing base of teammates. So just getting the opportunity to talk to folks with different backgrounds was really, really important. And so we've, in the last year alone, we increased our overall diversity from 26% to 34%. That's a pretty big move in 1 year. And 24% of our people leaders are women. That's up from 20% in the prior year. So it's really just about creating the space for opportunity. We hire the best talent that's out there. We just wanted to be able to meet that talent. So personally, I spend a lot of time with our employee resource group. So we have a great Women in Action group led by our chief product officer. And I founded and lead the Pride group, which is all about our LGBTQ teammates. And there are many more, the veterans group. In fact, they're having a luncheon in Atlanta today to raise money and just get to see each other in person again. And outside of those, I like to spend time on cyber literacy, especially in our elementary schools. Just start young with awareness around cybersecurity. And again, I just think anything that helps us all pull together and support each other in this space and build this community is worth the time.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so wonderful to hear how many things you're involved in. And that kind of leadership, I think, you know, coming from the top, those kinds of initiatives really have an impact. Have you ever faced any challenges in your career that you'd like to share with the audience and, you know, tips for how to overcome them and move ahead?
Sure. So clearly we all face challenges, usually at the most inconvenient moment. I would say that the thing that I've learned the most from when I've navigated challenges more quickly and well was to not go it alone. You know, I'd say early on in my career, I definitely spent probably too much time trying to think through or wrestle through a problem myself and just kind of powering through. And in some ways, thinking of asking for advice or guidance from others was a sign that, you know, I couldn't get it done, or that I was weak, or that I wasn't competent. And I think you can be particularly sensitive to that if you're a minority or a female or any kind of group that doesn't necessarily feel comfortable in the corporate environment. But I learned that was a mistake. And so the reality is that there are plenty of people who want to help, don't want to waste time and energy, want to do right by the business to solve problems faster. And in the end, I found you get to better solutions by collaborating and brainstorming with others. You get resources, and then you open the door for others to do the same in the future, right? To feel comfortable having those kinds of conversations and asking for help. And it's better for the organization overall than folks kind of toiling alone. So it's an important lesson. It's a habit that I still have of think I should know all the answers and want to solve things, but things just go so much better when you draw on the incredible talent that surrounds you each day.
Any other advice that you have for our audience? Maybe those thinking of being a CEO or leading a company?
Sure. I guess the big thing for me throughout my career has been focusing on the why. You know, why do you do what you do every day? Because certainly the more you spend time at work, that's a commitment and a set of sacrifices. We all only have 24 hours a day. And so the people that you work with, you work for, the communities and the customers you serve, it's really important to think about why you're there. For me, the career pathing has never been about moving through this linear set of titles. And you kind of mentioned this, my career is not linear and not expected because I've moved finance, product, you know, operations and then the CEO and role.
We follow our passions, not necessarily the latter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's always been about the combination of moving to a place where there's a point of leverage in the business. The business needs something to fundamentally change and bringing my own strength to those leverage points, which is really galvanizing people around a vision and figuring out how to climb a tough mountain to climb. So the combination of looking for those leverage points where I can contribute and bringing my form of contribution has just meant a career that's been really fulfilling and varied. And again, just given me the opportunity to do things I feel really proud of, but as part of a group that I'm even more proud to work with.
That's great. Before we go, are there any resources you'd like to share with the audience that have helped you or that you'd recommend?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say to please come to the SecureWorks website. I mean, we help people build careers here. I am not the only example of someone moving across functions in the organization. If you're a student of the business and have a passion for cybersecurity, there are all kinds of opportunities for you here. But I'm also glad to send you some links to my favorite podcasts. Of course, this will be at the top of the list. And writers that I like to follow in the space who I think take a pretty independent and unique point of view on the business of security, if you will. So glad to share some of those with your listeners here.
Awesome. Well, Wendy, thanks so much for joining us here today. And thanks to the audience for watching. Follow the series and we'll see you next time for more great interviews of women in cybersecurity. Thanks for joining and see you next time.